So really, three experts here. I'm going to stay out of their way. But here's the agenda we have for you this morning. We're going to get through as much of this as we can. But the first topic, we're going to have Jim talking about not just the development of that action plan, but how you really look at one of these new laws that comes online and what you think about when you see that. So Jim, over to you.
Appreciate it. So like Justin mentioned, 150 countries, maybe 150 plus. You can see here we have in the middle some of the state stuff. I'll skip over that since the last panel did such a great job covering that. We highlighted a few of the bigger ones or more recent unique ones, but China. So China's personal information protection law, as Justin alluded to, PIPL. You'll start just hearing nonstop acronyms today, so bear with us. But I'm going to read that one since it's one of the newer ones. It applies to organizations either in China, and I think most importantly to all of us here in the room, that have global entities, even organizations outside of China, that are processing personal data in order to offer goods, services, to analyze the behavior of Chinese residents. And this last caveat here that's a fun one at the end for all of us to figure out is, and it also applies to any, quote, unspecified circumstances stipulated by laws and administrative regulations. So we will all figure that out as they figure it out on their end. GDPR, probably what more people have heard of or familiar with, right? Somewhat similar to China's law, that it applies both companies in the EU and as well as those of us here in the US that are offering goods and services to EU residents and processing the data of those residents. Keep in mind, because of what the UK did with Brexit, GDPR immediately did not apply to them. They had to stand up basically a mirrored version of GDPR. It's called UK GDPR, very original. We'll get into more, a little bit of the nuance of the UK's when we talk about the international cross-border transfers of data. And then some of the ones we don't have listed here, Justin mentioned Brazil, New Zealand has a data protection law. I mentioned the UK's GDPR. And then something else that I want to just keep in mind is Canada. Canada's one of the countries that is highly important to us. My business teams tend to treat Canada as part of the US, so it's a constant battle of reminding them that Canada currently has their own regulation, but they're actively in their legislation, and I'm not super familiar with how their process works, but they're contemplating a GDPR enhanced version of the law. So if that comes down the pike, that's something we'll all have to figure out and comply with. On to step two, and Justin, I think you've got it, right? Okay, so data mapping. Again, the last panel touched on this. I think, you know, you're seeing it again, only emphasizes the importance of doing this exercise if you haven't already. I won't get into exactly what it is on the left since, again, the last panel covered that, but really focusing on the why is it so important. And this list on the right really is not exhaustive. You see things like determining which privacy laws apply. You know, the last slide just covered the high-level scope of where to start with these laws to even determine if it may apply to your organization, right? Having that data inventory readily available, that covers where your data is coming from, what exactly you're processing, allows you to get into the weeds of, okay, but whatever that law's definition of personal data or personal information is, how does that apply to us? How are they defining maybe sensitive data, and does that apply to us? Your inventory is your reference guide to really figure out what we have to do to comply with these international regulations. It helps ensure that your organization is processing personal data in accordance with the purpose limitations, documenting risks and mitigation measures. We'll cover this a little bit more in detail, but having that inventory, a comprehensive inventory across the organization, you can tie into it the different risks that are associated with different jurisdictions. And then also document, especially for the regulators, as they start to come in and assess your program, what mitigation measures you've taken, whether it's just a simple process, security side of the house, to really mitigate those risks. And those last two bullets are kind of explicit requirements. GDPR, California CPRA will require the ROPA, which is a record processing activity, documented. And then that last one, you need to have the categorization of processing purposes for CCPA, CPRA, China's data security law, and they have their upcoming regulations on network data security management that we're all looking forward to. This is not easy. I think the last panel alluded to this. There's a lot of different ways this gets done in organizations, all the way from spreadsheets to, really almost seven-figure solutions that you can bring in-house that help automate it, really identify your structured data, even some unstructured data, build out that privacy inventory and mapping. asked Lisa to talk about a little bit about how her company solved this, so you can hear some of the different ways that we all have to approach this.
Yeah, and there's different ways that you can address data mapping. Some companies will have their privacy team or their legal team just go around and start interviewing everybody in the company and write little notes and then try to make a plan. Using a tool, not using a tool. We use a tool. We have a very small privacy team at NI. It's just me and one other person, and then lots and lots of friends throughout the company. And I decided the best way to approach this was to leverage those friends. So we got ourselves one of the tools that does a fabulous job in helping to use questionnaires and to actually build this into beautiful maps and geographic maps and subject area maps and all those great things. And then got the leaders at our different departments and business units to buy in and participate. They control the data. They know what our data does around the company. And so they then took on the obligations to complete those questionnaires, to follow up with us after we get to review what they've done and identify those gaps. How do we then mitigate the gaps? So we work together to resolve that. And we use this one big tool as our record of processing activities, our data map, our place where we've recorded those flags of risk, and then how we have mitigated them. So we successfully did that over a fairly long period of time the first time, just to get everyone used to.